Okay, good morning. We're doing Brachos, Daf Mem Gimel today, and as usual, the shiur is sponsored by OMO Construction and David and Paula Bamser. And we are starting at the two dots at the top of Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara is picking up off the Mishnah, where it says, Hasebu Echad Mevarech. Mishnah talked about the fact that a person can be motzi other people in a bracha rishona we're talking about primarily. But the Mishnah says that's only true if they are kind of formally congregated as a group. If I have three or four disparate people around the room, I can't just get up and make a bracha and be motzi the others. I can only make a bracha and motzi the others if we're formally connected as a group, and that's going to require something called haseba. In the old days, the way they used to eat, we know from our Pesach Sedarim, is they would recline on these couches. And so the Mishnah says that once everyone's reclined, that kind of makes them into a group, that coalesces them into a group, and it's at that point that I can make a bracha and be motzi others. But if we're, like I said, if we're just standing around and haven't done haseba yet, so I can't be motzi others because we're not a group yet. So it's important to just keep in mind as we go into this Gemara that our practice nowadays generally is not this way. Generally speaking, when it comes to bracha rishonas and bracha achronas and brachas anenin, we are not motzi each other, the exception being Kiddush and Havdalah and Hamotzi, right, at the Shabbos table where we want Lech HaMishnah, and there's reasons to do that. But generally speaking, if the two of us are sitting down and eating tuna fish sandwiches together or eating apples together, we each make our own brachos. And that's kind of the practice nowadays. I just took a look at the Gemara doesn't make mention of that practice because the Gemara assumes that by and large people are going to be motzi others. When you're sitting together as a group, one person is going to make a bracha and everyone joins together. So the Aruch HaShulchan at the end of Reish Yud Gimel kind of describes a little bit why it is that the halacha developed or the minhag developed in this way. And he says, this way that we each do our own. So he said, I mean, it looks like it collapsed slowly over the years. So there were Rishonim who talk about the fact, or maybe Achronim, that nowadays Yayin is not enough of a kvias. Meaning, like we said, in order for you to be motzi others, you really need to be a kvias together. You have to be formally grouped together as a group in order for one person to get up and be motzi the others. So maybe that's only true by pas, by bread, because we're kind of really eating a hearty meal together. But if we're just kind of sipping on wine together, that's not enough. The Mishnah Berurah says it's really Tully in the Minhag HaMakom. He says the B'makom Shematzi Harbe Yain V'Regiyin Likvo Alav, where people drink lots of wine. Let's say in France, people drink wine and they all get together and drink wine. So then maybe that's considered a kvias where they're all sitting together and one person can be motzi the others. But in other countries, that wouldn't be enough. Ultimately, he gets to the fact that he says here V'dad Dekvar Bi'arnu Kamapam De'af B'makom Shecha Yochel Hotzias Chaveru. Even though you meet all the requirements of the Gemara, everyone is leaning on their couches and ready to make a bracha for one for the other. And in fact, the Gemara makes it sound as if that's even preferable because of Rova Amahadras Melech. We generally have a principle that when you do things in a group, that's preferable. It's more praise to Hashem. Mikol Makom Ein Anu Osim Kain. We don't do that. Mishum Derachol Ku Shekol Echad Yishma Bekavana Mechaveru Es HaBracha. He says it's kind of far-fetched to believe that everyone's going to have perfect kavana. We don't trust our kavana nowadays as much, and so we say everyone make their own bracha, and then they'll be focused on their own bracha, rather than being motzi from the others. And then he goes on to say that the exception is Kiddush and Havdalah, where I guess everyone's more focused, or maybe because, and in a motzi, you need a lech mishnah, so one person does it, rather everyone have their roles, and even have an idea of Rov Amadris Melech there. But generally speaking, when you sit down for a meal or for a snack, one person's not going to be motzi the others, even if you qualify, even if you satisfy the requirements of the Gemara, as we'll see in a moment. So that's just an introduction as to kind of how this Gemara diverges from our practice nowadays. But let's start again at the two dots. Yisebu Echad Mevarech, Amar Rav, Lo Shanu Elapas Debay Haseba. This requirement of Haseba, this requirement that everyone be reclining on their couches and actually sitting around the table in order for one to be motzi the others, that's only true when it comes to bread. Aval yayin lo baya seba. But wine doesn't require a seba. The implication is that wine, one person can be motzi the others even if they're not reclining on their couches, even if they're just sitting around or standing around the table. Rav Yochanan says, no, wine also requires a seba. Ikadamri, another version of this member of Rav, Amar Rav, Lo Shanu Ela Pas de Mahanyale Haseba. Only by Pas does Haseba work to coalesce them into a group and allow one person to be motzi the others. Aval Yayin Lo Mahanyale Haseba. With wine, there's nothing you can do that will allow one person to be motzi the others. These are two very opposite versions of Rav's memra. For Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Afil Yayin Nami Mahanyin LeSeba. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, wine also is stable work. So Rabbi Yochanan is stable. Rabbi Yochanan, in both versions of this memra, says wine needs a seba, and you could only be motzi others in wine if everyone's lying on their couches. That's Rabbi Yochanan. But Rav says either that wine doesn't need a seba, and one person can be motzi the others even if they're just standing around. That's in one version. In the second version, Rav says that wine can never have a seba, that you can never be motzi others with wine, even if you are doing a seba. So we're going to try to figure out which of these memras is correct. Meisvei, we have a braisa that says, or a tosefta, Ketzad Seder Haseba. How does this work in the real world? How do people do Haseba? Or how does a meal go down? Orchin Nichnasin, let's say you invite some people over, so the guests come in. Vyoshvin Algabe Safsalin. Valgabe katadros, and the guests come in, they sit on benches or on chairs, ad yachnisu kulam, until they all come. Now all the guests have arrived, heviu lehem mayim, they bring them pitchers of water, kol echad v'echad notel yado achas. So then each person washes one hand, because this is just for the introductory wine, they only need one hand to pick up their glass of wine. Balahem Yayin, so now they pour wine for everyone. Koechav Yachad Mevarich La'atzmo. In this instance now, everyone is going to make their own bracha on the wine. Alu Vesebu, so now they, I guess, get up from the wine room and they lie down on their couches in the meal room. Ubalahem Mayim, and now they bring them pitchers of water again. Afalpisha Koechav Yachad Natal Yado Achas, even though they've already washed one hand to drink their wine, Choser v'notel shtei yadav. Now they wash both their hands because they're going to now be about to eat bread where they're going to use both hands. Balahem yayin, and now they're going to pour them another glass of wine now in the bread room where they've reclined on recliners. Afal pishkol echad v'echad birech ha'atzmo. At this point, even though previously in the other room, each one made a bracha for themselves, for their wine, now echad mevarich luku, and one person makes the bracha for all of them. So that's this tosefta describing how a typical party would work, I guess. So the Gemara now analyzes this. According to the version of Rav that said lo shanu ela pas debaya seba aval yain lo baya seba, that only pas requires reclining. But wine doesn't require reclining, and for wine, you can be motzi the others even without haseba. So then kashya resha, then it does. We don't understand why it would be in the first instance, the first part of this where it said that each person makes a bracha for himself. Why should that be? Wine doesn't require haseba. So even in the wine room where they were all standing around, one person should have been able to be motzi everyone, right? So the Gemara answers, "Shiny orchim that datayu lo mi'aker." So the Gemara says, "No, this description was a party where people are invited, and where people are invited guests, they don't have that same level of kvias because people are going to come and go, and people are going to drop into the party and leave, and so therefore, in that situation where they're just invited guests, we're not talking about the stable residents of a home. So there." Even according to the first version of Rav, even wine is going to require a seba, and that explains why each person made a bracha for himself in the resha of this descriptive tosefta. And the Gemara then goes and says, "Lehech lishna dama Rav lo shanu elapas demahanyulei aseba avayayin lo mahanyulei aseba." According to the second version of Rav, where we said that haseba doesn't help, that no matter what you do, one person can never be motzi the others in wine. So then Kashya Seifa, the end of the story, the end of the description didn't make sense, where we said that once they've reclined in the pas room, in the bread room, that one person could be motzi the others. That's not true according to the second Lishna of Rav. it's contradictory or it undermines Rav's statement, right? Rav was an Amora. How does he deal with the Tosefta? So the Gemara answer is Shiny Hasam Demigu Dukamahanyua Hasebula Pas Mahanyua Yasebula Yayin. So the Gemara now says, no. Rav only said that Haseba doesn't help with wine, and you can never be motzi another person or a group of people with wine, even if you are doing Haseba. That's only true if you're just drinking wine. But if you're there to drink pas, which does coalesce everyone into a group, and then you're also there to drink wine, the pas is kind of, the wine kind of comes subsidiary to the pas, and there's Haseba, they've coalesced into a group for purposes of the pas, and so therefore that'll also work willy-nilly for the wine, and one person can be motzi the other. So we've justified each version of Rav. We don't really know which one is accurate, but they both fit into, they could both be justified even in light of this Tosefta.
The Tosefta is silent about pas. I guess he just implying that after getting together for pas as well?
No, the Tosefta, I think, said, didn't it say... It said notel shtei yadav, and Rashi said that, you know, the reason why they're notel shtei yadav, the reason why they now, Rashi says close over notel shtei yadav shetzarech leechol b'shtiyasan. Rashi says the reason now they're washing both hands is because they're about to eat their sandwiches. So you're right; it doesn't say it explicitly, but that was the implication, and that's how Rashi kind of describes it all together. And either way, you could just say that's the Ukimta. You could say that the Gemara now is saying, no, this was a situation where they were eating pas. But I think it works with the upgrade from washing one hand to washing two hands. Okay. Bohem yayin betoch hamazon. So the Mishnah had said that if in the middle of their meal, they're all eating their sandwiches, they're all eating their pas, their bread, and now they bring a bottle of wine out to the table, the Mishnah said, "Kol echad v'yachad mevarich la'atzmo." In that situation, this is a little bit contradictory to the first thing. I guess the first thing is wasn't at the middle of the meal; it was the beginning of the meal, right? So one person made baruch piragavim for all of them. But the Mishnah says that if they were in the middle of a meal already eating, and now someone introduces wine to the table, so in that case, "Kol echad v'yachad mevarich la'atzmo," each person should say his own bracha. So Shalus ben Zoma says the Gemara. Well, they asked Ben Zoma, "Bnei ma amru bo hem yayin b'toch ha-mazon ko echa v'echa mevarech le'atzmo l'achar ha-mazon echa mevarech l'kulem." They said, asked Ben Zoma, why is this true? Why is it that if you bring out wine in the middle of the meal, one person doesn't say the bracha for everyone? That seems like the perfect situation where one person should say the bracha for everyone. They're all sitting around the table. They're being koveya suda. They have a seba going on. So why wouldn't that work? Whereas if you bring a dessert wine out after the meal, so then one person is motzi the others. Why should that be? Samar lahem, so Ben Zoma answered, ho'il ve'in beis ha'buya panoi. He said, because they're all stuffed their mouth, because beis ha'buya means their throat, right? The part of their body where you swallow, since the throat is not available. Meaning, since they're all chewing on their meal, they're all preoccupied with their meal. Everyone's conversation's going on, they're all eating. So not everyone is focused on the one person making that bracha. And so therefore, we're not going to allow one person to be motzi the others. We're only going to allow one person to be motzi the others where everyone's focused on that person. So at the beginning of the meal or at the end of the meal where there's a break in the meal. But if it's the middle of the meal, everyone's in beis habuya panoi, everyone's chewing on their food, we're not going to allow one person to be motzi the others. That's the halacha. This gives an opening to Tosfos, if you look at the long Tosfos here, Ho've'ez Bein Beis Abuya Panoi, to explain, if you look at the first few lines, Yesh Mefarshim, Kishomer Savri Morai, Vein Menichin Lechol, Kadei Vishnoa HaBracha, V'lano Samein, Shiyu Peturin. So Tosfos says the implication here is that the reason why one person can't be most of the others is because they're all so busy. But if the guy bangs on the table and says, Savri Maranam V'Rabasai, everyone pay attention, and then they all put down their sandwiches and start paying attention, so that should work. And this is kind of the origins of our practice at the beginning of Kiddush, saying Savrim Ranam Rabbasai. I'm about to be motzi you all. Everyone, pay attention to my bracha. And the Tosfos goes on to talk about all sorts of instances. He gets to towards the bottom, right opposite where the gra starts. At least in my printing, Aval Tzarchi and Ketzatz Me Avdalosh Anam Avdil and Vom. He's talking about the fact that all these requirements in the Mishnah that they be, have a seba in order for everyone to be coalesced into a group and everyone should be paying attention. How does that work with Havdalah? So Yayin, it makes sense, everyone's sitting at the table. Havdalah, everyone's kind of just standing around the kitchen and everyone, one person's making Havdalah for everyone. How does that work? How can we all be motzi with Havdalah? So he says, maybe Vishami Shormi Tok Shakovin Atzma Kadewatsu the Havdalah Kavinami Akul Milsa. Maybe because Havdalah is kind of a bracha about something, you know, it's a real bracha rather than just a brikas anenin on food. But then maybe that's why everyone is paying attention. But then he says, some people have the minhag to sit for Havdalah, and the reason is this, that it's more like this Haseba idea. Everyone's sitting, and now everyone can be focused. And as we're supposed to, everyone's wandering around the kitchen or dining room, wherever you make Havdalah, so people aren't focused on the person who's making the bracha, and they're not Yotze in the bracha.
I'd like to change my
minhag
to that.
Yeah, it's a nice idea, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yisifra,
though.
For that reason.
For that reason, yeah.
Like 10 years ago.
Oh, really? Yeah, yeah, interesting.
I mean, not, I didn't know the Tosos, but for the same reason.
Good. Yeah, right. Yeah, everyone's kind of focused. Okay, so anyway, that's the Tosos. The Gemara now continues, quoting from the Mishnah. V'hu omer aha mugmar. This is now, mugmar is like an incense that they used to light after their meal in order, yeah, I guess as part of their dessert, they would light some incense. Maybe we should start this now. And one person when we would say the bracha, you know, the Borim name summon for everyone. So Gemara is for everyone. So Gemara says, Mitigatani Vu Omer al Mugmar, Miklal Dika Adif Minaif. The fact that the Mishnah is describing that the person who led benching should be the one who should say the bracha on the mugmar, on the incense. The implication is that there's a choice to be made here, that there's other candidates to make the bracha, and yet we're choosing the one who led benching. Vamai. And the Gemara says, why should it be him? And the reason is because he led benching, he washed his hands first at the end of the meal, so therefore it makes sense that he should be the, kind of, continue on into the next phase and lead the mugmar. And this is consistent, or this helps Rav's Shita, Dama Rav Chia Barashi Amarav, they quote Rav as saying, Hanoto Yadav Tchila Bachorna Hu Mezuman Uvracha. The one who washes his hands first for Mayim Achronim, he's the one that should make the bracha on benching. Then we say, Rav, Rabbi Chia, Havu Yasvi, Kamei, the Rebbe, Besudasa. Rav and Rav Chia visited Rav and were sitting at him at a meal. Amrei Rebbe, L'Rav, so Rebbe, who was their Rebbe, said to Rav, Kum Mashi Yodcha. He said, go wash your hands. Chaz Yadav Amirsas, and he saw that when he told Rav to wash his hands, Rav started getting all nervous. Rashi says, because he thought maybe he saw that my hands were very dirty, or maybe he thought that I was eating for too long and he was wanting me to hurry up. And you know, it was embarrassing for him in front of a Rebbe, so he started getting all nervous. So Amrle Rabbi Chia reassured his friend Rav, Bar Pachti, the son of Gedolim, meaning he was kind of said, you're a good guy, you're the son of Gedolim. Ayin bebirkas mezona kamar lecha. He wasn't telling you to wash your hands because he thought your hands were dirty or because you were taking too long to eat. He was signaling to you that you should lead benching. He said, okay, you wash your hands first. The idea is that the person who washes his hands first is the one that leads benching. Amrabi Zera Marava Bar Yirmiya. He's quoted as saying, Me'im asay mevarachin al hareach. Mishatala Timrasa, when do you make the bracha on the incense? As soon as the smoke starts going up. Meaning even before you take a whiff of it, as soon as the smoke starts going up, you make the bracha. Amoy Rabbi Zeu Rava Bar Yomia, Volo Ka'arach, but you haven't yet smelled it yet. How can you make a bracha on something you haven't yet smelled? Amrlei Utameich, according to your logic, Hamotzi Lechem Min Aretz Demavarech, we make a bracha of Hamotzi Lechem Min Aretz V'Hago Achal. We say it before you've eaten. Rather, you say a bracha when you're planning to eat, and so too, you say the bracha when you're planning to smell. They quote Rav, perhaps it's Ziri that's saying this. The appropriate bracha to make on incense, which is from a tree, it's from a branch, is borei atzei besamim. Chutz mi mushk. Mushk is musk. So I had a Google, I don't know, did anyone know musk? I had a Google last night what musk is. If you Google musk, Elon Musk comes up. But if you Google, you know, musk, the fragrance, it's actually, it's a strong smelling reddish brown substance that's secreted by the male musk deer for scent marking. He marks his territory with his scent. And it's used for perfumes. I think even nowadays, that's what the definition says. So if you're ending off your meal by smelling musk, this animal extract, shemin chayahu, which comes from a animal, shemavarchen aleim bori b'nei b'samim. There you're not going to say bori atzei b'samim because it doesn't come from a branch, it comes from a deer. So therefore you say bori b'nei b'samim. Meisvein, mavarchen bori atzei b'samim. So then I have a challenge to that, where we said that you always make a bori atzei b'samim on everything other than musk. Ein mavarch, we have a brace that says, Ein mavarchin bari atzei b'samim el av par simon, except for balsam, shall base Rebbe, except for the balsam that came from the house of Rebbe. That's the only thing that gets a bari atzei b'samim. The al par simon shall base kesar, or the balsam that comes from the Caesar's palace, the al hadas, and also from the hadas in Yana Dioma, shall b'kol makom hadas, that comes from anywhere. And then Rashi says that this includes anything like that. Specifically, Rashi says, anything that falls, that is like balsam or like hadasim, where the branch itself is what gives off the fragrance, even without kind of burning it or without any kind of manipulation of it. So hadas is the most common example of this, he says. So the Gemara says, Tiyufta, you're right. The only things that you make a borei atzei b'samim are, or is with the, where the scent comes naturally from that wood or from that branch, rather than any kind of scent that comes from where you manipulate the substance. Amar le Rav Chista or Rav Yitzchak. Hai mashcha da par simon. What about the oil that comes from the balsam? Not the balsam itself, not the branch itself, but oil that comes from that. Mai mevarchin aluyai. What do you make a bracha on? What do you bracha you make on it? Amrlei hachi amar Rav Yehuda borei shemen artseinu. You make a bracha of shemen artseinu, oil from our land. Rashi points out fascinatingly that Shemin Artzino, he writes, Shayagado Biricho, right? Why does it say Shemin Artzino of our land? He says that balsam would primarily grow or would come from, be imported from Yericho. V'alshem ha-reach ha-isa nikreis Yericho. He says the reason why the city Yericho is called Yericho is because the shorish is reach. So reach Yericho is called Yericho because it's a reach. It's a place where very fragrant balsam is grown. So that's the bracha you make. Amrlei bar minei d'Rav Yehuda. So the question was, what bracha you make on mashcha da par simon, oil of a par simon, oil of balsam oil? So he said, he quoted Rav Yehuda, who said, Borei shemen artseinu, the bracha is the oil from our land, from Eretz Yisrael. So he said, well, one second. He said, I asked you what bracha you make. Bar minei d'Rav, you're quoting Rav Yehuda. So, but bar minei d'Rav Yehuda, aside from Rav Yehuda, the Chavivalei Eretz Yisrael, who was a radical Zionist, and he always kind of loved to talk about Eretz Yisrael. So fine, I understand Rabbi Yehuda. He says, make the bracha of Shemen Artseinu, the oil of our land. But all the non-radical Zionists, what bracha do they make? Amar lei hachi amar Rav Yochanan bari Shemen Arev. He backed down from quoting Rabbi Yehuda, and he said, the bracha you make is bari Shemen Arev, you know, nice fragrance, or nice oil. Amar Rav Ada Bar Ava.
By the way, is there a difference? Was he either of them living in Eretz Yisrael? Because you know, like when we say Barina Bala Michio Bla Geffen. In Israel we say Gafna. Like we say it differently.
Because yeah, we say
Eretz Yisrael versus we don't say that here in America.
Yeah, that's going to come up on Nem Daud. In the next stop, we're going to get to. That's right. I don't know where Rav Yehuda lives.
In Eretz Yisrael, you say that's the reason why he's saying Arsenu. Yeah. Whereas out of Eretz Yisrael, you're not saying Artsenu.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know where the Gemara doesn't say it has to do with the geography, but it could be. It's a good point. It's a good point. It's the next stop.
What's the Rabbi Yehuda is in Bava?
Rabbi Yehuda was in Bava?
Rav usually means Bava.
Ah, okay, right. Okay. Amar of Ada Bar Ava, Hai Kashrasa. What bracha do you make on kastas? Kastas is some kind of, again, a fragrant branch. Mavarchin Uliya Bore Atse Besamim, Ava Mashcha Kavisha, but the oil of it, meaning where you know you have to extract the oil from it, well, that you don't make Bore Atse Besamim. Rav Kahana Amar Afilu Mashcha Kavisha, Ava Mashcha Tchinola. So Rav Kahana says, even on Mashcha Kavisha, the oil that you could just squeeze out, so that you'd also make a Bore Atse Besamim. But if it's the oil that you'd have to actually grind it down to get to, so then you wouldn't make the Bore Atse Besamim. Nardai Amri Afil Mashcha Tchino. Nardai says, even if you had to grind it down to get that oil out, you still say Bore Atse Besamim. Amar Rav Gidol Amarav. Fine, that's the end of that discussion. Amar Rav Gidol Amarav. Hai Samlik. Jasmine. Again, another kind of fragrance. Mavarchin Uye Bore Atse Besamim. Amar Rav Chananel Amar Rav. Honey Chalfe Diyama. This I looked in the English translation. It's spine. I don't know what this is. Spikenards that grow by the sea, right? Diyama means it grows by the sea. A certain type of thing that grows by the sea. Mivarchinu alayu bori atse besamim. Again, you make bori atse besamim. Amar mar zutra mikra. What's the source? Right. Again, he said. He just said bori atse besamim, implying that this is something that comes from a tree. Whereas this was more of like a plant substance, where it was very, you know, it wasn't, it didn't have a hard trunk like a tree. So Marzutra says, what's the source scripturally for this idea that you could call a plant a tree? And they quote from Rachav. Rachav, when she hid the spies, it says here, V'hi ala sam hagaga, she put them on the roof, v'atit menem b'pishtei ha'etz, she hid them among the pishtei ha'etz, the flax trees. Flax is not a tree, it's more of a plant, and yet she called it a tree. And so that's the source for this idea that you might make a bore atse besamim, calling it a tree, on these spine nards that are, or spike nards that are really more of a plant. Amar Rav Misharshia, Hainarkum de Ganuse, de Ganunisa, garden daffodils, Mavarchin Iwiye, bore atse besamim, that's the bracha you make on it. The Dabra, however, the ones that grow in the desert, Bore Isfe Besamim, those are, I guess, more of a grass than a tree, and so therefore on those you make a Bore Isfe Besamim. Amar Rav Sheshes, Honey Sigli, Violets, Mevarchin Alayu, Bore Isfe Besamim, you say, that again, that's more of a grass than a tree, and so that's the bracha you make on them. Amar Rav Marzutra, Haiman de Morach Besroga, again, in Yana Dioma, someone who smells an esrog, O Bechavusha, or a quince, Omer Baruch Shenasan Reach Tov Beperos, that's the bracha you make. Amar Rav Yehuda, Haiman de Nafik Biyomei Nisan. If you go out in the fields or you go out in Nisan, V'chaze Ivani Deka Melavlevi, and you see blossoming trees, Omer Baruch Shulchiser, this is the Brichas Eilon that we know, Omer Baruch Shulchiser Balamo Klum, Ubara Bo Brios Tovos Vilonos Tovos, Lisnos Bahem B'nei Adam, blessing Hashem, who didn't leave anything missing from his world. He made nice or beautiful creations and great and beautiful trees for people to benefit from. That's the bracha. Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia Amar Rav, Minayin Shemevarchin Al Reach. How do we know altogether that you make a bracha on things that you smell? Right? We had in the beginning of... We're back on Lamed Hey. We had the whole discussion of what's the source for making a bracha before you eat. And the answer ultimately, after a long discussion, was that Asur l'adam v'hanos mina olam b'lo bracha. You're not allowed to get any benefit from the world without a bracha. So that's, I guess, more intuitive when it comes to actually ingesting something, eating something. What's the source altogether that you make a bracha for smelling something? Right? You don't make a bracha when you hear nice music. So what's the reason why you break a bracha when you smell something? So the Gemara answer is Shenemar Kol HaNeshama Tehalel Ka. Kol HaNeshama Tehalel Ka, meaning you know this from, you know, from morning, from Pesukei de Zimra, that my entire being, my entire neshama will praise you, Hashem. Our entire neshama will praise you, Hashem. Ezu Davar Shan Neshama Nanis Menu. What's the thing, kind of thing that gives benefit to your neshama? Ve'ina guf nena mimenu, and that your guf is not getting benefit from. Havi omer zehareach, that's smell. Your smell is something that your neshama benefits from, and your guf doesn't. V'yomer bar zutra bar tovya amarav asidim bachur yisrael shiitnu reach tov kalvanon. This is a funny gemara. I don't really know what it means. That in the future, I guess ilasid lavo, the young men of Israel are going to give off nice scents, like the lavanon shnemar yelchu yon kosav vayikazayis hodo v'reachol kalvanon. I saw in the Shari Mitzion and Balacha, the Sefer Shari Mitzion and Balacha, they have a quote for the discussion about what's the story for someone who can't smell. My mother can't smell. My mother doesn't have a sense of smell. So there are people that don't have a, there's a technical word for it, people who don't have a sense of smell. Do they make a bracha on, besamim? So it seems obvious that the answer is no, you don't make a bracha if you can't smell it. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch says that. Shulchan Aruch says, "Mi she'enu me'riach, enu mevarech al besamim." Someone who can't smell doesn't make a bracha, barabim besamim. But the Beis Yosef quotes the Orchos Chaim, "Dafiu mi she'enu chush harech." So even someone who doesn't have a sense of smell and doesn't get any benefit from the smell, yachol avarech birchas harech, he can actually make a barim besamim. Why? De mikom akom yeshlo hanah de machzik rosho vigufo. That somehow it still benefits him from, I'm not sure what that means exactly, but they quote the Sheol's Jews, the Shvus Yaakov, who is Medayik from the Lashon of Kohan Neshama Talika, the bracha that we just, or the pasuk that we just quoted, Kohan Neshama Talika. It's not just people, who can smell it should praise Hashem for smell, but Kohan Neshama Talika, all people, all souls should bless Hashem for that, and he wants to bring that as proof for the position of the Orchos Chaim that all people should smell. And he goes on to say that even the neshama somehow gets benefit from it, even if the guf, even if you can't actually sense the sense of smell, the neshama still gets a benefit from it. I'm assuming that that's not Pashup Shah. Most poskim would probably go with the Shulchan Aruch. I didn't bother to look it up. I didn't get a chance to look it up. But the Shulchan Aruch itself says you don't make a bracha if you can't smell. Okay. V'amarav zutra bar tuvya marav. May dechsiv esa ko asa yafa bito. Pasuk from Kohelas, another inyana dioma. Hashem made everything in the right time. Melame shko echa v'echa yafa lo akadosh baruch hu umnaso befanav. It's saying that for every that Hashem made it so that people will enjoy their particular work. Meaning, even if you have a job that other people might not appreciate, people go into a line of work that they enjoy. Most people, hopefully, are satisfied on some level with their work, and not every kind of job is for everyone else. So that's the pasuk of Esako Asa Yafa Biito. Amar Papa Haina Damri Inshi. This is explains the phrase that people say. Tolole koro ledavar acher. Rashi explains that means that you hang a heart of palm on a pig, v'ihu didei of it, and he'll do his thing with it. Meaning if you take a palm of heart, which is a very nice to eat or nice to smell or is a nice thing, if you put it on the neck of a pig, he'll just roll in the mud with it. The idea being that everyone does their thing and everyone has their own kind of occupation and is specialized in it. And so if you give a palm of heart to a pig, this is like the equivalent of if you give a mouse a cookie, right? If you give a heart of palm to a pig, he'll roll in the mud with it. So meaning each person will do what they're kind of accustomed to do, and they'll go with it. And everyone appreciates their own kind of approach to different things. V'amarav zutra bar tovya amarav avuka. Okay, so now they're quoting, what's the story with torches? So Rashi introduces this by saying that there's a general idea that if you go out at night, you shouldn't go out alone because it's dangerous. You shouldn't go out alone at night. However, if you carry a torch with you, that's somehow going to help. So let's see. So avuka kishnayim, if you hold a torch, that's like two. V'yareach kishlosha, and if there's a moon out, that illuminates, and that's like there are three. So Yiboyluhu Avuka Kishnayim Bahadi Didei. Does that mean that having a torch is like two total, the guy holding the torch and it's as if he has another person accompanying it? Odilma Avuka Kishnayim Wabar Mididei. Or is the Avuka considered itself two people? So if one person's holding a torch, is that considered as if it's two people, or is it considered as if it's three people? Tashma, and we'll see why it makes a difference. Tashma.
So it seems to, I don't know, the bottom of the article says that it's not talking about being attacked by people, it's talking about being attacked by people.
By mazikim, by shadim, right?
Which is, now I can understand why I'm carrying a torch.
That's going to help.
It's just pretending it's different than a person. I'm going to still attack the person, full moon or not. Like
right,
that,
you know? Right, right. Good. Okay, yeah, good point. That's right. That's right. So
full moon could be a problem.
Right, in other traditions. Tashma v'yareach kishlosha. We just said that a moon is going to be like three. Yamris bishlom abahadi didei. So if we understood the torch to mean a total of two, right? The person holding the torch and the torch is like adding one. So then Shapir, then it makes sense that a moon will now upgrade to three. Eliamris labarmi didei. If you would say that the torch brings you up to three, the person holding it plus two, so then the implication would be that a moon will be like four, right? But arba lamali, how does four help you? Four is not, bringing you up to four has no relevance, because ultimately the purpose of this is to ward off shadim, right? As we just said. The Amar Marn, didn't the master say, well, echad nira, that if you're one person, so then nira umazik, the shade can be seen, and the shade will attack you. That's very bad. Don't go out alone at night. Mishnayim niravein umazik, if you're two people, then you could see the shade, but he won't attack you. So then if you're three people, so then you can't see the shade, he won't attack you. So there's no significance to having four. So why would we have said Yareach Kishlosha as if to say that there are four people out when there's a moon? This all clarifies that when we said two, we meant two total. So again, having an avuka with you, having a lamp or a torch with you, will bring up the number to two. And if there's a moonlight, that'll bring it up to three, and then you'll be totally good. Good. V'amrav Zutra Bar Tovia, Amarav. V'amrila Amarav Chana Bar Bizna Amarav Shimon Chasida. V'amrila Amarav Yochanan Mishum Rav Shimon Ben Yochai. So there are three versions of who said this. It's either Rav Shimon Ben Yochai, or Rav Chana Bar Bizna, or Rav. What is it? Noach lo adam shegapil atzma l'toch kivshan ha'esh, v'al yalbin p'nei chaveru barabin. Very famous. It's better to throw yourself into a fire, into a furnace, rather than embarrassing someone in public. How do we know this? Minoan mi tamar, shenemar hi mutsas, etc. From the story of Yehuda and Tamar, if you remember, right, Tamar got pregnant from Yehuda, and she had evidence of who it was, but instead of just announcing who it was and embarrassing Yehuda publicly, she said, it's whoever this belongs to, and the story unfolded. But the point is that she was willing to risk death rather than publicly embarrassing Yehuda. And so we learned there that it's better to risk death than be malbin p'nei chaver b'rabim. Tana Rabbanan, hiviu l'fan of shemen v'hadas. So let's say they bring in front of you, this is typically done, as Rashi points out, at the end of the meal, oil to kind of wash your hands, to get, I guess, the grease of the food, or to get rid of the scent of the food, and hadas to smell. That's what they used to do. They used to pass around some kind of oil to put on your hands, a hand lotion, and hadasim to smell. And the question is, which one do you make the bracha on first? So, or which one do you do first? Do you apply the oil, or do you do the smell of the hadas? So, Beishamei Omrim, Mavarich al Hashemen, V'achar kach Mavarich al Hadas. Beishamei says, do the smell, make the bracha for the shemen first, and then the hadas. Excuse me. Beishilo Omrim, Mavarich al Hadas, V'achar kach Mavarich al Hashemen. First, you do the hadas, and then you do the shemen. Amar Rabbi Gamliel. So Rabbi Gamliel says, "Ani achria, I will decide the halacha between the two. Shemen zachinu l'reicho v'zachinu l'sicha. So shemen, we are fortunate enough to have two benefits from shemen, namely that we can smell the shemen, and it also is a good lotion for our hands. Hadas l'recho zachinu sichasa lo zachinu. But hadas only has one attribute that we have merited to benefit from, which is that it has a nice smell, but it doesn't also have a lotion. And therefore, what should you do? He says, basically, because shemen is doubly good, it has two attributes that are positive, make the bracha on the shemen first, and then on the hadas. Right? So he's basically siding with Beis Shammai. Amar Rav Yochanan, halacha kedivrei machria. And Rav Yochanan says, when we have a Tana that tells us which of the two opinions to follow, so you follow the decisor, you follow the more decisive opinion, and so we're going to follow Beis Shammai here. Rav Papa iko lebe Rav Huna, brei derav. So Rav Papa visited Rav Huna, the son of Rav. I'm sorry, Dravika? Ravika, thank you. Aisu kamayu shemen v'adas. So it was the end of the meal, and they did what was traditional, which was that they brought him oil and hadasim. Shakal Rav Papa took them. Barich ahadas bereisha. And he made the bracha on the hadas first. V'hadar barich ha-shemen. And then he made it on the oil. So that was against what he went in accordance with Beis Hillel, against what the way Rav Gamliel was machria. So Amar Lei, so he said to him, Lo sover lamar halacha kedivrei amachria. Don't you hold what we just quoted, that the halacha is like the decisor, when we have someone who's paskining, like Rav Gamliel stepped up and did here, that the halacha follows Rav Gamliel, and in this case, you should do the bracha on the shemen first, in accordance with the shita of Beis Shammai. So Amar Lei, Hachi Amar Rava. So he says, so this line is very controversial in the Rishonim. We'll go through the different opinions. It's very interesting. So what did he respond? He said, right, even though Rav Gamliel was machria, like Beis Shammai, he says, Hachi Amar Rava Halacha k'Beis Hillel. He says, Rava told me, or I heard from Rava, that the halacha actually follows Beis Hillel, against the hachra of Rav Gamliel. And then the Gemara says, Velohi. But that wasn't really true. Rava never said such a thing. Rav Papa just said this to kind of get himself out of the embarrassment of having said the wrong bracha first. So that is a very, very strange line in the Gemara. He lied about what Rava paskined, and he said that just to kind of cover for himself and the fact that he made a mistake. So Rashi says, where is it? Velohi. Lo amar Rava hilchasa k'beis Hillel. Rava never said such a thing. Or a papa achsif lefi shita. He was embarrassed because he made a mistake. V'hishmit atzmo b'kach. And he covered himself by misquoting Rava. That's a little surprising. If you look in Tosfos, the second Tosfos, hachi amar Rava hilchasa k'beis Hillel v'loik mishmuti nafshi yudakavid. That's our girsa. Ubeferish Rashi, and that's Rashi's girsa. Aval Rav Alphas, the Rif Pasa Karava Mashma. Aval Rav Alphas Pasa Karava Mashma. He doesn't have as a different girsa. He doesn't have Velohi. The Rif wasn't Goris. Velohi, the Rif didn't read this Gemara as saying that it wasn't true. Rather, he took the face value, and Rava actually paskin this way, and therefore he actually paskins like Rava. Meaning, the Rif says la halacha that we follow Beis Hillel here, not Beis Shammai, because Rava in fact paskin like Beis Hillel. If you look at the Gilyan on the side, the small letters Zelishon, the Ramabi Panu. At least in my Gemara, it's right on the sides. I'm not sure where you see the Ramabi Panu. So the Ramabi Panu says, no, actually Rav Papa disagreed with Rav Yochanan. He didn't misrepresent Rav's opinion based on, because he was embarrassed and he wanted to cover himself. Rather, he did it as a Midas Chasidus. Rather, you know, he believed fundamentally that we should pass like Beis Hillel, but he didn't want to be so haughty as to go against Rabbi Yochanan, who he was with. He didn't want to kind of you didn't want to go against Rabbi Yochanan, and so therefore he just attributed this halachic position to his Rebbe as a way of being respectful to the covet of his Rebbe, of Rava. V'yulav dekim le'diachi ochosa, and if he didn't really believe that that was the halacha, lo avid uvda b'nafshe, he wouldn't have done it this way. Meaning he wouldn't have attributed a wrong halacha or a mistake that he had made to his Rebbe. Rather, it was the fact that he really believed that that was the halacha, and he, as a means of kind of anivus, he said, he quoted it in the name of his Rebbe, even if it wasn't clear that his Rebbe actually said that. Okay, let's just in the next few minutes, let's try to get down to the bottom, maybe. Should we try it? Tanur Rabban, Hivu of name Shemin V'yayin. Beishami Omrim Oches HaShemin B'yimino V'seyayin B'smolo. Let's see, have oil and wine. Hold the oil in your right hand, the wine in your left hand. Mivarech HaShemin V'chozim Revel HaYayin. And make the bracha on the oil first. Beisil Omrim the opposite. Oches HaShayayin B'yimino. Hold the wine in your right hand. V'es HaShemin B'smolo. Mivarech HaYayin V'chozim Revarech HaShemin. And make the bracha on the wine first, then make the bracha on the shemen. V'tachu B'rosh HaShamish. And then you should smear the oil on the head, or, you know, I think on the face of the shamish, of the person, the shamish who's there, the attendant, the butler. Rashi explains that the reason you should do that is because it's not respectful for a Talmud Chacham to go out in the marketplace, to go out in public, smelling like the oil, you know, smelling like perfume. You should therefore wipe it. You know, you've used this for a lotion for your hands at the end of the meal or as part of the meal, but you shouldn't go out in public kind of smelling perfumey. V'mshamish tamachachamu, but let's say the shamish is himself a tamachacham, where it wouldn't be becoming of the shamish to go out in public smelling like perfume. So then tachu b'koso, then so wipe it, smear it on the wall. Why? It's not Rashi, it's Gemara. It's not appropriate for a Talmud Chacham to go out in the marketplace with a perfume smell. Tanur Rabbanan, Shisha Dvarim Gnailo Talmud Chacham. The following six things are disrespectful or an unbecoming of a Talmud Chacham. Al Yetze Kishu Mavusam Lashuk. He shouldn't go out to the public smelling like perfume. Val Yetze Yechidi Balayla. As we said above, you shouldn't go out alone at night. V'al yetzei b'minalayim ha'metulayim, you shouldn't go out with patched up shoes. V'al yisaper im isha b'shuk, you shouldn't talk with a woman publicly in the marketplace. V'al yetzei b'chabura shal amei ha'aretz, you shouldn't hang out in a chabura of unlearned people. V'al yikaneis b'achorna lo beis ha'medrash, you shouldn't be the last guy to come to the beis ha'medrash. V'yosh omrim af lo yafsia psia gasa, and others say, others add to this list, you shouldn't walk with large steps. Val yahalich b'koma zakufa, you shouldn't walk kind of all, you know, haughty in the way you walk. Val yetzei kishu mavusam zakufa, period. Now we're going to analyze some of these things. Al yetzei kishu mavusam l'shuk, you shouldn't go out with perfume on you. Amar av abba breid rav chia bar abba, amar av yochanan, b'makam shechashu d'mal mishkav zachar. We're talking about going to a place, a neighborhood, where there's a lot of mishkav zachar, homosexuality. That's the place where a Talmud Chacham shouldn't walk around with perfume for obvious reasons. But if he's just walking in a normal neighborhood with perfume, that's not so bad. Amar Rav Sheshes la'amrin elo bebigdo. That's only true if he's got the perfume on his clothing. Aval begufo, but if he's got perfume on his body itself, zeya ma'avrole. The sweat causes the fragrance to dissipate. That's not as bad. That smell is not going to stay around as long because he'll perspire and the sweat will cause the fragrance to dissipate. Amar Rav Papa, v'se'aro kebigdo. Rav Papa says that hair is like clothes, meaning you shouldn't go out with perfume in your hair. Kebigdo dami. V'amriwa, or another version is kegufo dami, that actually hair is like the skin in that the perfume smell won't stay around as much if it's in the hair. And then it's okay. V'al yetzei yechidi b'layla. We said that the reason he shouldn't go out at night alone is, he shouldn't go out alone, and now we're saying that the reason is mishum chashada. The reason there is because people might, Rashi says, shows nus, people might suspect him of being involved in illicit activity if he's out alone at night. V'lo amrin elo dul kaviyo le'idna. That's only true if he doesn't have a chavrusa set up. About kaviyo le'idna, if he has a scheduled chavrusa, made the idea dul le'idna kazil. And everyone knows that he goes that way every day, and he's going to his chavrusa, or to his rebbe. V'lo yitzebim min alayimim tulayim, we said you shouldn't go out and patch shoes. Me'eseloi l'rav yichia bar abba. This is consistent. This helps out the statement of Rav Chiya bar Abba. Damar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Gnai Hugo Talmud Chacham, Sheyetsu Ben Alayim and Talayim. It's not appropriate. It's embarrassing for him to go with patched shoes. Ini Var Rav Chiya bar Abba Nafik. Is that true? Didn't he himself go with patched shoes? Amar Mar Zutcher, Breder Rav Nachum, Bitloy Al Gabi Tloy. The problem is if it's double patched. That's when it's a problem. V'lo Amrin El Bepanta, and that's only true by the upper part of the shoe. Of a begilda leslan ba, but even if it's double patched on the lower part of the shoe, that's not so bad. I guess it's less noticeable. And even on the lower shoe part of the shoe, I'm sorry, and even on the upper part of the shoe, well, amran ela biturcha. That's only problematic if you're going out on the road. Of a bebesa, if your slippers, if your Crocs are double patched on the top, that's not so bad. Leslan ba. Well, amran el bimosachama. It's only true if you're doing this in the summer. Of al bimosachasham and leslan ba. But during the winter time, Rashi says that the dirt or the mud from the road kind of covers up the patching, and then no one notices it, and it's not so bad. You shouldn't talk to women in the shuk. Even if it's your own wife, you shouldn't be discussing. You shouldn't be having lengthy conversations with your wife in the shuk. Tanya nami achi. Similarly, we have a brisa that says afilu hi ishto, afilu hi bito, afilu hi achoso. Even if it's your wife, your daughter, or your sister, some family member. Why? Not everyone knows your family tree, and not everyone knows who this is you're talking to, and so therefore you should stay away from having lengthy conversations with women publicly. You shouldn't hang out with Ame Aretz, my taima. Why? They will be a bad influence on you, and will pull you towards them. You shouldn't come late, or you shouldn't be the last one in the Beis Medrash. You shouldn't dekaru le pesheya, because they're going to call you, Rashi says, pesheya means a mitzatzel, they're going to call you lazy. Yishomrim aflo yafsiya psiya gasa, we said you shouldn't take long strides. Damarmar psiya gasa notelis echad mitafkuf mimoreinav shel adam. Taking long strides diminishes your eyesight by 1 in 400. No, 500. Tafkuf, 500. My takante, what should you do? If your eyesight's not going, it's diminishing, maybe because you took long strides. Lahadre b'kedusha debe shamshi, you should drink kiddush, Rashi says, on Friday night. V'ayalich b'koma zakufa, you shouldn't walk straight up. D'amar mar ha'alich b'koma zakufa, afilo arba amos, even if you walk this way, for even 4 amos, kilu dochak ragoi shchina, it's as if you are... it's as if you're kind of pushing aside the Shechina. You're saying, I'm so great. Tichsiv melol kol aretz kavodo. Hashem, his glory is, or his honor is in the whole world, so you shouldn't kind of think that you're there in his place.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Next week, bagels.